right. Stand for just a minute, if you would. Take your Bible and look at Nehemiah chapter 2. Just for a moment, stretch your legs. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Thank you, Brother Don. Thank you, young people, all the folks that work with them. That was a blessing to my heart. And I appreciate the effort put into it. Win or lose, do your best. God will bless you for it. Amen. And we do hope that some of you take home some of the rewards. That's a blessing. It's good to see those young people up here. You know, I was thinking about some of these young people who are in single-parent homes getting up here. And there's a lot of insecurity in a single-parent home. But for them to stand up here and sing and repeat stories and everything was a great blessing to me. Tremendous blessing, all of it was. I appreciate so much the effort put into it, especially by the leadership, the Sharon Thomason and Kelly, just so blessed to have a pianist that can pick up a piece of music and just play it like that. And be such a blessing. So it's a good thing. Man, Wednesday night, Brother Edwards will be preaching. Some of the competition will be performed on Wednesday night, am I right? Some of the large ensembles will be on Wednesday night, the choirs on Thursday night, Brother Don, is that correct? And Thursday morning. So if you can get to some of the competition, it is a blessing. It's a good thing and a good time. And we do look forward to the services and all that go on with it starting on Wednesday night. Look at verse number 17, if you would, please, in Nehemiah 2. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that would be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the good hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Thank you, dear Lord, for what our hearts have already experienced tonight. Been blessed to watch these young people get up and sing. Lord, my mind goes back to my teenage years, how wasted they were for you. Many of us in this room can't look back on our teenage years with any kind of testimony whatsoever. We look at these young people, thank you for the investment that their parents have made in their lives, the people of this church, this school. We pray, God, that they will be determined to live for you and use whatever talents and abilities you've given them for your honor and glory in the years to come. Lord, speak to us through these few brief moments, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. Thank you. Be seated. You know the story without me going to take the time tonight to go into all the details of the walls and the gates, the wall around Jerusalem broken and torn down, and Nehemiah's effort to go back and rebuild it. Let's just pick up right here in verses 11 through 16. You see the viewing of the need. The viewing of the need. I won't take time to read these verses, but when they got to Jerusalem, Nehemiah never said anything about what he saw needed to be done. He gathered up the elders, a group of fellows, and he just went for a ride. And he rode around that wall, and as he did, he didn't even say anything from all I can see here. Never said a word. He just let the men that were with him see the need. I wish you could take a walk with me on Sunday morning and go through the building as the folks are arriving for Sunday school and for the adult Bible classes. If you went upstairs with me in this building up here, over here in the old building upstairs, you would see that the teacher's workroom there is full of junior high girls, seventh through ninth graders. They're jammed in there. If you went a little further down the way, you would see that the library where the library room is, you would see that, let me see which class is in. That's your class. Donna Griffin's class is in there. You'd see fourth, fifth, and sixth grade girls crammed in there in a classroom. I mean shoulder to shoulder, folks. I mean shoulder to shoulder, right like this for the classroom. If you went a little bit further, you'd come to Brother Jorge's office. And in that office, you'll find, again, a group of boys, fourth through sixth grade boys, crammed in there. Brother Montgomery sitting behind the desk. Brother Payne standing in front of those boys, shoulder to shoulder, chair to chair. In that classroom, if you walked across and saw the first through third grade girls' classroom, they have some room in that class, but there's a lot of little girls in that class. Our Sunbeam department has to meet off the property over at Olivet. They had 43 in Sunbeam a class this morning. 43, and the room is getting small. 43 mentally handicapped adults having a Sunday school class in that class this morning. And God bless the people that work with those precious folks. Amen. Y'all remember Diane? Remember Diane? She wants to sing in the choir. Amen. She told Brother Hendrickson that she had that needed to ask me. She wants to sing in the choir again. So we need to have them come over and sing again for us sometime. That's a blessing. And the Spanish department, 43 today. 43. They were jammed into that room upstairs there. I wish you could see that. I wish you could see the day school Monday through Friday. I wish you could see the second through third grade classroom over there. It's full. I wish you could see the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade classroom over there. It's full. I appreciate the job that Diane Jacoby and Emily Hansen do, trying to teach children in an environment that's really not conducive to learning. And they do well. And the academic test, the Iowa Basic Skills Test, prove that our teachers do a good job and the students do a good job. And the average was tremendous last year. But they're operating in circumstances that are less than suitable. They're jammed in there. Now, our elementary school has increased. We're seeing a good number of first through sixth graders and kindergartners in that department. So I wish you could take a walk with me around the building on Sunday morning as the folks are gathering for Sunday school. I think it wouldn't be hard for you to view the need with me. We're jammed in Sunday school, and we need some room. So you see the viewing of the need. And then in verse number 17, you see the voicing of the dream. Nehemiah, he didn't say anything to him. And then in verse number 17, he said, "You see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Now he said, let us build. This was his dream. He said, we need a wall around this city. And we need gates in the wall to sustain it and make it strong, to protect our people and keep the city safe. They need to build it up. I was getting ahead of myself a little bit here. Let me see where I got that. Yes, that's right. We need to convert the gymnasium over there, the existing building over there, into a two-story building. You've heard me say that before. And what needs to be done, I think, is different than what I presented to you before. I sat down with Jeff this week, and as we looked at the floor plan for the educational building over there, one floor of classrooms and another floor for the kitchen and the fellowship hall and so forth and so on, I started thinking in my mind about the classrooms that we've already got over there and counting up the classrooms that were diagrammed on paper, and we only had a net gain of 3 rooms. That's all we had, a net gain of 3 rooms. And I said to Jeff, we need far more classrooms than this. I said, I don't know. I said, this is not going to be enough. I said, what about if we turn this completely into a two-story educational building, classrooms on both floors, and then enlarge the gym area a little bit and make it a multi-purpose building with a gym in one half and a kitchen and a fellowship hall in the other. And he began to pencil and do with his pens and so forth and so on. And we came up with a concept that I believe is going to work across the way. I'm not sure how it will affect our storm drain as we go down the parking lot over here. Remember that retention pond that we put in, the storm drain that went down the parking lot? You can't build on top of a sewer drain, storm drain. And we may have to move some of that. We're trying to avoid that if possible. We may have to have some extra parking. We're already on full days. We're having to park across the street over here because our parking lot is currently full. So we're going to have some extra parking. That's the dream, folks. The dream is to have a two-story educational building, classrooms on both floors, and a multi-purpose building next door to it with a gymnasium, a fellowship hall, a kitchen, and some added parking. That is the dream. And I don't think any of that is a luxury. I think all of that is a necessity. We need a library, a much larger library than we have. We need schoolrooms, classrooms. We need more bathrooms. We need everything that I've talked about tonight. All of that is a necessity. That's what Nehemiah did. He voiced the dream. He viewed the need, and then he voiced the dream. And then in verse 18, you've got the volition of the team. The volition of the team. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, so forth and so on. And they said, let us rise up and build. The men said that. The people said that. Let us rise up and build. That was their will. That was their choice. That was their volition. They saw the need. They caught the dream. And they said, let's rise up and do it. And in 52 days, that wall was completed. 52 days. Folks, that's a miracle. 52 days. You understand that the city borders of Jerusalem had increased significantly, watch up here, significantly during the time that Solomon was the king. Now, they were established when David was the king, but when Solomon became king, the borders of that city increased dramatically. Somewhere I read this week, they were talking about between 8 to 10 acres, and they built a wall all the way around that 8 to 10 acres and raised up the gates and did that in 52 days, less than 2 months. That's a miracle. That's unbelievable. As I said this morning, it takes teamwork to make the dream work. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. And something like this across the parking lot over here, it takes teamwork to expand this ministry, to spread it out, to stretch it, to put up a new building. There are a lot of dreams to be realized yet, and it's going to take teamwork. Now, let me say just two things tonight in light of the need that I've stressed before you tonight. Number one, the work designed for the whole cannot be accomplished by a part of the whole. Now, I'll say that again. You think about that statement. The work designed for the whole cannot be accomplished by a part of the whole. God has designed an expansion project for our church. It involves every person in our church. You say, I don't have a kid in the school. Doesn't matter. That building is used 6 days a week over there. It'll be used all day on Sunday. And your children and maybe grandchildren will sit in those classrooms and play ball in that gym and have a wedding reception in that fellowship hall and a meal made out of that kitchen. What's designed for the whole of us cannot be accomplished by a part of us. Can't done. It can't be done. It takes teamwork. It takes all of us working together. I've said before, the illustration, the analogy that God uses in His Word to show us how a church operates is the physical body. The physical body. The physical body has a head. Our head is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that head controls the body. Now listen carefully. God has put all kinds of members in my body and in your body. This is one body made up of many members. And what it takes for this body to reach its full potential is every one of these individual members performing that for which it was created. And I can get along like my father-in-law has. He got along all these years without that arm from here down. He worked hard. He could do a lot. He made a good living for his family. Put 3 kids through college and gave and did all kinds of things. And John could do so much with that without that arm. But he couldn't button his collar button. He couldn't button this button down here when he got ready for church. He always had to have Nellie do it for him. Why? Because his body could not live up to its full potential because he didn't have this part of his arm. He was missing this arm. And I want to say something. Whatever God has designed for the whole of our church needs to be tackled by the whole of our church. It takes every person getting involved, every person, every member of this church. And if all of us will jump on board, if all of us will do everything we can, it takes teamwork to make the dream work. The dream will become a reality with the right kind of teamwork. And let me say this evening, and I'm rushing because I still want to talk at the end here just for a moment about something else. But number two, let me say this. Fighting the enemy on the outside is a big enough task without having to fight enemies within. Their concentration in this wall rebuilding project, I mean, they had to fight off enemies over and over and over and over, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian. And the Bible says they came and they came and they were relentless. They never let up. They just came and came and came. And it took all Nehemiah had to fight off the enemies on the outside. God pity the fact if he had to fight off enemies on the inside. We don't need that. We don't need enemies within. We don't need fighting and division and discord and picking and backbiting. We'll devour and consume one another, friend, and we'll not see the dream become a reality if we don't grow up and mature and be Christian adults and get along in this thing and understand that the overall progress of the work is far more important than our little individual petty preferences. Amen. I preach that all over the country. I should preach it here. It's totally impossible for everybody in this room to agree when it comes to preferences. And we only have a problem when somebody decides that their preference is big enough to throw a fit about. I don't know that anybody's preference is large enough to hinder the overall project of the work. Nobody's preference, including mine. You say, well, that's easy for you to say you're the pastor. There's some things that go on here, folks, that I don't care for. I would do it a different way. But the last time I checked, the Lord is blessing us and getting us along real good. I think I'll just keep my mouth shut and let the work keep going forward instead of pitching a fit about my personal preferences. Amen? I believe that. I believe that's what we all ought to do. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. We're going to jump into this thing in 1 month, Lord willing. In 1 month, we'll have some design drawings to look at and hopefully bring to the church and show you this is what we need. And when we bring it to you, folks, I'm telling you what, I talked to Jeff the other day. He said, well, you'll need a lot of time to put your fundraising in and all this and that. And I said, Jeff, you know what I told him about? I told him about the financial meeting that we had back in January where the men in this meeting said, we need to build, and we're going to have to pay for it. Let's get moving. And I've done that. And I told Jeff, I said, I don't think it's going to take us long to put together our fundraising for this thing. I don't think it's going to take long at all, Jeff. He asked how much money we owed on the existing loan with the wall, with the yard mart, the $10,000 from the yard mart. It was approximately $10,000 net profit from yard mart. With that, we're going to be down close to $170,000 left on the loan. That's it. Okay? That's where we're going to be. And I said, Jeff, I said, if this thing moves along, if the drawings move along, can we break ground by the end of this year? He said, it could be done. It could be done. Let me tell you something, church. It needs to be done. It's got to be done. We're at that point again where we're just there looking at the walls and the gates, and the building project has got to go forward. I wish you could view the need. Some of you see it. I have voiced the dream. Now the volition of the team. We need to rise up and build, and it takes teamwork to make the dream work. I'm looking at the nursery these days and I'm seeing that it's full. And that's a blessing. Amen. I'm looking at the Tri-City Baptist Chapel and the people that we're sending away from here on Sunday morning who will not be sitting in these pews in order to try to reach some other families who would never come to this church. And I'm seeing we have holes. We have places where we need people to step up and step in and get involved and do something. And man, there is so much going on. You don't have to sit on the sidelines. Amen? There is so much to do. And it'll be so much fun. It'll be so wonderful when it's all said and done. We take the next step that God's brought us to. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. I'm just asking you, get on the team and stay on it. Amen. And let's see the thing become a reality. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll please bless our church. We need to take a step forward, Lord. It's going to be a big step. It's going to be a step of faith. Dear God, I pray that You will enable us and empower us. And I pray, God, that You'll help us, please, as we go about to cast away from the dock and set sail on seeing this ministry go to another level as far as our buildings is concerned. Lord, I pray that You'll give folks a vision to step in and step up to the plate and be counted. And Lord, step in to help and be faithful. And may we all, Lord, be thankful that You've brought us to this place. And even though, Lord, it seems huge, it's just another opportunity for You to prove Your greatness and Your power. Lord, I want this school to continue on. I want those elementary school children to have a classroom that's conducive to learning and a good environment for school. God, I want to bring the Sunbeam people to this property. I want to see that ministry grow. I want to see the outreach grow through the Tri-City Baptist Chapel. We want to see the Spanish have room to grow, Lord, and grow that department. God, we need the space. I'm begging You, I'm asking You tonight, please empower us, enable us, everyone in this room. And Lord, may every member of this church sense the need, view it. And Lord, I pray that they'll see the dream. And God, I pray that every person will be on the team. Lord, I pray that You'll help this dream become a reality. God, do it in a timely fashion. Help us, I pray. May we have faith in You, a great big God. Lord, sometimes the reports on the newspaper and the radio are discouraging about the price of gasoline and home sales and General Motors and so forth and so on. But Lord, that's all in this world. That's all human. God, You're on the throne. And as we follow You, You can provide. And I pray, God, that You will. And I thank You, Lord, for these young people. We look forward to having a facility that, Lord, will accommodate a school maybe even a little bit larger someday. Lord, help us to educate young people in the Christian way. God bless our families, our husbands, the men of this church, the wives, the young people. May we understand, Lord, the necessity of living for You, walking with You, and having Your power on our life. God, I beg You, be with us and guide us and take us through the next step, Lord, as we go through this process again. May You empower us for it. In Jesus' name, my prayer is made. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. If you feel the need tonight to slip to the altar and pray for just a moment, you need to do that. The altar will be open briefly. If you're not saved, I would invite you to come tell Brother Caleb I need to get saved or baptized as the Lord speaks to your heart as the ladies play. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. We need you. We need folks to step in, step up, be available, help out, fill in, take on a responsibility and serve God. Some of the old guard needs a sprinkling hand. We need you to jump in and be counted. Teamwork to make the dream work. As we pray, as we wait, we